afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Melody.
Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Al and I, we were talking about Santa Claus moving. He relocated from the North Pole, but we were talking about changes that we're seeing in temperatures. And I was telling him on the East Coast here on the end of November, we're having 60 degrees at 3 a.m. Last night it was 56 degrees. Tonight it's supposed to be 61 degrees at the end of November. So very, very strange indeed. In fact, even where you're at, Al, in Dallas, you mentioned... that it's a little bit warmer.
Well, it's no surprise that it's not exactly a surprise that it's warmer down here. I mean, we're a lot further south.
Well, for the year.
Just the same, this time of, we're in the 60s today. We're probably up over 70. I don't know what the outdoor temperature is exactly, but 65, 70 degrees. I don't know. And so one thing I don't like about Texas, right? I would like more of four seasons. We have one season, which is summer, and then we have a month of fall, a month of winter, and a month of spring. Maybe 2 months of spring. I don't know. But mostly we have summer down here.
I can relate. Lived 28 years in Arizona, and there was two seasons, summer and...
and then the hot season.
The hot season, yes. And then Helk. Anyway, gold today. Well, a little pressure on gold, not so bad. Currently right now down 510. 510 on gold to the downside at 1189. Silver was up 7 pennies at 1673. Platinum was down 5 at 922. Palladium was up 6 at $766. A little bit of pressure on oil today, down 180 at 4528. I'll talk briefly about that in just a few moments. The USDX today was also down 0.18 at 100.98. And the paper markets today, we have the Dow up 23 points, 19,121. The NASDAQ up 11 at 53.79. The S&P up 2.94, 2204. 10-year yield, 2.30%, down 0.02, and not a lot going on in Asia or the European markets. I came across this article. It was a comment by SocGen, the bank, and it says that the debt party is over. And SocGen today warned their investors this week that the decade-long party in the debt markets is over. Decade-long. How about several decades?
Yeah,
how about a century? Almost a century of decade-long part. The decade-long debt party is coming to an end. Borrowing costs are poised to rise rapidly, hurting the economy, fueling a stampede out of debt funds more powerful than what markets expect. And he said, prepare for a serious hangover.
And I'm hangover, huh?
Hangover.
Uh-huh. It's like having a hangover from drinking arsenic. Right. It's not going to be just give me a Bloody Mary and I'll be all right.
Okay.
This is not going to be quite the same thing.
But they continue to go on telling their investors that the music has stopped and Trump's election and plans to stimulate the American economy by borrowing money has fueled a massive bet on stronger growth and more inflation.
Or is he going to borrow the money?
Well, you know, he did talk about having private businesses. So, I mean, he has these different ideas and so forth. But there was also, I saw an interview today, the one person that he's interviewing for Treasury Secretary. And he had said, he was interviewed yesterday by Mr. Trump and his team, and he had said that he would love to get rid of the Federal Reserve. He said he would love to have a gold-backed currency.
He says, well, he's not going to live long.
But he says, well, that's why he says it's not going to happen in my lifetime.
I'm not sure that's true.
I don't either.
You know, that may be overly pessimistic, but it's not going to happen easily, and it's not going to happen painlessly. It will only happen if and when the whole thing falls down around everybody's head and ears, and we are all in great pain. And then somebody might say, well, I don't know. I suppose we could try backing the money with gold again. I don't want to, but I suppose we could do it. You know, under extreme conditions, we might be able to do this. And in fact, if I've got an article here from The Telegraph, which is an English publication.
If we have the right people in there, then that's a possibility.
Well, the fact that anyone's even talking about it all by itself, someone in a position of power.
Other than Ron Paul. Yeah. than Ron Paul. But even Donald Trump. Even Donald Trump during the election said, yeah, hey, I love, you know, it'd be great to be on the gold standard. He says, but that'll never happen. It'll never happen in today's world with this amount of debt. But here you have a big bank, SocGen, saying, hey, it's coming to an end. There's been a lot of violent selling in the bond markets, which has been happening. This is why we've seen the Treasury yield jump from 1.85%, I believe it was on Election Day, up to 2.34%. And it was even a little higher than that. So, a lot of volatility out there. You're not seeing it in the stock markets because that's the only thing that people watch. Hey, if that stock market is up there, then everything is okay. Well, there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes, a lot of things. There was $18 billion out of the bond funds in the week after the election, and that was the most outflow in, what, 3.5-4 years. So, yeah, there's a lot of things moving around, and I think next year it's going to be a very volatile year, so you better enjoy the quiet now, because
you know,
it's...
I agree with you, and when people sit back and you say, huh, you know, we all never have a gold-based currency. Yeah, well, we'll never have negative interest rates either. You could have asked anyone 5 years ago, 3 years ago. We'll never have negative interest rates. That's just crazy. Oh, yeah, well, they have them and they're over in much of the world right now. We live in strange, fragile, perilous times, and people are willing to try some very strange solutions in order to avoid the pain that is otherwise almost certainly headed our way. Here's an article from The Telegraph, which is an English publication, and it talks about the English mint and blockchain. And for those of you who don't know, you probably do, but blockchain is a relatively new technology, maybe 10 years old from its inception, that's caught on, and it's a way of creating a digital currency, all right, and ensuring that every transaction is monitored. And if I had 100 units of blockchain currency, for example, Bitcoin, then if I gave Melody 20 units of that Bitcoin currency, there would be a blockchain digital record of that transaction. When Melody gave 10 of the 20 to one of the people in the audience, there'd be another. And there would be a chain of transactions that would go back from the time the digital currency was created until wherever it is right now. We'd be able to follow. Went from me to Melody to John to Sally to George to whatever. It's a way of monitoring these digital currencies, digital dollars, for lack of a better term. And it's caught on, or it's catching on in a lot of places, and we'll watch and see where it goes. But here's the thing. The headline from The Telegraph is Royal Mint offers gold trading based on blockchain. All right. Interesting headline, but it doesn't by itself. It doesn't tell us too much. It says the Royal Mint of England has paired up with market operator CME Group to build a gold market using nascent blockchain technology in a bid to broaden London's appeal as a place to buy and sell bullion. Right? They're not talking about using blockchain to sell electronically traded funds. They're not talking about... At least judging from this article, they're not talking about using blockchain to sell paper gold, which is what we're selling on LIBOR and the and comics. They're selling paper gold. They're not really selling physical gold. The price of gold we see right now is the price of paper gold, which is fundamentally worthless. That's the price that's controlling. These people are coming up and saying, no one can sell bullion using this digital blockchain technology. And it says the state-owned Royal Mint hopes to start accepting trades from the middle of next year on its Royal Mint Gold platform, which will log each transaction using blockchain, a transparent and so far tamper-proof method of keeping records. Now, what this is implying is, are you chuckling? Do I hear you
yes,
chuckling?
Tamper-proof.
Well, I agree, but nevertheless, this is still an important article. This is an important, it goes on and says, the market will be underpinned by up to $1 billion in gold bars, or around 2 tons at current prices, which will be stored in the mint's vaults near Cardiff, wherever that is in England. Blockchain is best known as the open technology that was used to build Bitcoin, the online payment system that can be used anonymously. CMA and the Royal Mint have spent about a year trying to adapt the blockchain technology to use in the gold market, where the methods of physically buying gold and selling the commodity have remained largely unchanged for hundreds of years. This is a digital solution to physical gold trading. Now, what they're saying here is they're going to use this blockchain certificates to buy and sell physical gold that's down at the Royal Mint. The point is, the reason this impresses me is because we appear to be seeing the return of a gold-based currency. They're saying we're going to put out these little digital deals, but they're going to be backed by physical gold. Now, it doesn't say if it's going to be backed 100% by physical gold or 5%. I don't know. But what we're looking at here is there's going to be a digital technology, but in theory, the article doesn't say this, but they are talking about dealing with physical gold, using blockchain to buy and sell physical gold. The gold will be held down at the mint. It says buyers will be allowed to store their gold for free with the mint, which is a dangerous thing. It's like, oh, you can store your gold with Al Capone. Friendly Al Capone will store your gold at no charge. You just bring your gold on down.
I was laughing.
Smiling Al, he'll store your gold. Well, maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know if I trust that. But the point is, they appear to be issuing a gold-backed digital currency. And all by itself, we're listening to Donald Trump, and we're listening to his possible Secretary of the Treasury saying they'd like gold, they'd like to have a gold-based currency, but it's not going to happen. Maybe it is happening. Maybe it's already beginning to happen. Or at least plans are being laid for it to happen in England sometime in the middle of next year.
Well, this sounds very similar to the same program that India offered to their citizens, that you buy our gold, you'll store it here, we'll give you a certificate, and you know, all is good with that. Well, we know most of these central banks have leased out all their gold anyway, and they don't have it. So to me, this is a clever way of getting that gold back into their hands. They don't want people to physically own gold, because that gives people an independence.
Yep.
They can't control you if you own gold. They can't control you. They want you to be in paper investments, because if they control your money, they control you 100%. And even Rockefeller says, hey, if we control your money, we don't need to control the country. We can control your money.
Yep.
Well, government is no different than people and your investments. As long as you have your money with them, they control you. That's what it's all about. With gold, it gives you that privacy. It gives you that independence. That's why it's one of the reasons why it is so important. It really is one of the main, another important reason why you own $20 gold pieces. Ah, but you got people out there like Peter Schiff and all these guys. Oh, you don't want to own that stuff. Well, there's a purpose and a place in a portfolio for every type of coin. And it's up to an experienced salesperson like myself and everyone here at Discount Gold and Silver that will help you learn about the different products and not just slam you into something, because we can, you know, put you into something else. But I didn't mean to get off on that tangent, but that's why it's important. So it will be interesting to see how this goal, anytime a government wants to hold your gold, It's a scary.
Still seems possible that you can walk in with your blockchain and I'd like my ounces of gold.
Let me explain. Where I think this would come in handy is where we mentioned it yesterday. I talked about how I believe the global currencies will be balanced with gold in a basket. And this could be something where your central banks could, this could work in that type of a scenario to stabilize the world currencies.
Well, it's still a step in that direction.
So it's interesting the discussions.
Yeah. It's. I mean, I'm not gonna predict that this is going to succeed. This new Royal Mint program. I'm not gonna bet that it's gonna succeed, but it's gonna try something, and they're gonna learn from it. And it's evidence in the next evolution on this thing. Someone's gonna do this a little better, and they say, "Well, we're gonna have this set up, and this stuff is gonna be backed by gold, and you'll be able to redeem your gold. You'll be able to walk in with your blockchain certificate, and pick up a couple ounces of gold, or however much gold you want to get out of this." Now, once they do that, we have a gold-based currency. It's a digital currency, but it's still backed by gold. And in theory, you're gonna be able to redeem your gold. You're gonna be able to pull that gold out of the mint if you want to say, So
this
I'm
is
saying
just like,
there's evidence that
sign.
They're beginning to, this is another sign we're in big trouble.
Now, this is another sign which shows how important gold is going to be in the future. It is going to be all about gold. And I believe the scandal in gold will be the biggest. I mean, it will far exceed the LIBOR rate scandal. Because I do believe these central banks don't have the gold that they say they have. And I do believe it's going to be in a tremendous scandal when it comes down. So, there's all things, but I think in our future, in the very near future, I mean, when it gets to the exposure of the central banks not having gold,
the stuff is going to hit the fan.
It's
going to
hit the fan,
happen.
But it's
and
going to be all about gold.
There's one other point. The Federal Reserve claims to have 8,200 tons of gold sitting there in the vault someplace. All right? We have Donald Trump and his potential Secretary of the Treasury saying we'd like to get rid of the Federal Reserve. What if it sure turns out, what if evidence comes out that the Federal Reserve, in fact, doesn't have any gold? It will make it very easy to get rid of the Federal Reserve. I might not be able to do it while they've got 8,200 tons of gold, but it turns out they don't have it. Guess what? We can dump them tomorrow. Let's take a break for some commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and the program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Well, I did want to mention, I said we'd talk a little bit about oil. There's not a whole lot to report, but both Iran and Iraq, they are resisting pressure from the Saudi to curtail oil production. And, of course, that is making it hard for OPEC to reach a deal to limit output. OPEC sources told Reuters a meeting of experts in Vienna on Monday failed to bridge differences between OPEC's de facto leader, Saudi Arabia, and the group's second and third largest producers over the mechanics of output cuts. I even saw that Russia pulled out, and it wasn't that long ago. I remember reporting on Saudi Arabia and Russia were, you know, holding hands and they were best buddies, but I saw a brief comment that they were pulling out, so that they weren't going to do what OPEC wanted, or the Saudis wanted, not OPEC. So tensions are rising, and of course we're seeing a little bit of pressure on oil, and Saudi Arabia wanted to cut productions by as much as 1 million barrels per day, and more than Iran wanted to. So again, this is why we're seeing a little bit of pressure on oil. So we'll have to see where it goes. You know, you can say lower oil prices is better for gasoline prices, is better for the consumer. But hey, from what I've been reading, the consumer out there is so strong. He's got more than enough money. In fact, they can.
Who's got more than enough money?
Well, it seems like some of the people in Chicago, they took the day off so they could disrupt flights, or try to, at the Chicago O'Hare. There was a strike in a series of nationwide protests that were held today, including airport workers, fast food employees, graduate assistants, child and health care workers, and Uber drivers. The protests,
not the
of
Uber
course,
drivers.
Uber drivers. The protests were organized by the Fight for $15 an Hour Wage campaign, led by the Service Employees International Union. So the day began early in Chicago, where some 200 people crowded outside of McDonald's in Chicago's, chanting and waving signs. We don't want to just survive, we want to thrive. And so lots of chants like that. They want a $15 minimum wage, and union rights have been the clarion call for the movement. The nationwide protest planned in 340 cities and 20 airports today. So, you know, and they had a bunch of people that were interviewed and crying about they're not making enough money. You know, Al, when I didn't make enough money when I was younger, I got two jobs. Sometimes I worked three jobs. Worked two jobs, went to school, still had time to do other things. So, I mean, I don't get it. People go to work at McDonald's knowing that they're going to get paid $10 an hour. If you don't like it, then go someplace else or get another job if you need more money. So, you know, that's...
It's not easy for people to find entry-level jobs, though. I mean, that's a problem. You know, when I was a kid, something like
hey,
a third of the population had...
Hey, you don't work for a career, though, Al. You don't plan on working at McDonald's. I mean, what do you expect at McDonald's?
I understand that, but there are a bunch of people who didn't go to college. Where are you going to put them? And then back when I was a kid, about a third of the people were self-employed, which means you had a dad who could teach you how to work as a child. You were working in the family business, which is a great, great blessing. It can be aggravating and annoying and frustrating, but if you have an old man who can teach you how to work, you have a huge advantage. All right? The kids don't have that anymore. Not many people are self-employed.
Well, I don't
nobody
even know,
to teach
Al. I
them
don't
how
believe,
to work. They
I
have to hit the board I, running after they get out of college.
I don't believe it. Part of it, perhaps, have come from a family that were independent. However, look at our society today, Al. Come on. Can you really say it's because there's, you know, no independent employees out there? I think it's more along the basis. There's TV, video games, cell phones, a lot of other entertainment.
I don't think that's entirely true. I'd look at it from the other perspective. There's a lot of people. It's a lot easier to learn a video game than it is to learn all the regulations government has imposed in order to allegedly protect the public. And in process, there's a lot of people. I mean, I know people that don't, they can do wonderful trade work, right? They're highly competent tradesmen, but they can't handle the paperwork, and therefore they can't be independently self-employed.
How many, I know a lot of parents who don't even give their children chores to do. Yeah. That was the number one thing when you were a child, whether you were 3 years old, 5 years old, 8 years old, you had chores to do. You were rewarded for those chores. Some of us weren't. I mean, we had to do them or we had to suffer the wrath. But, you know, and so, no, society has changed, Al. You know, and it's not the only reason.
No, I know society has changed, but this is part of the change and it's part of the reason.
It's not the
only reason.
People
have to start working someplace. They may have to learn how to work at McDonald's or at retail stores, which are also folding
up. Our education is a big part of the problem also. So that there's a lot of reasons.
Well, it's not just education. The other thing is the whole entitlement mentality. I mean, how badly do you need a job in this country?
Well,
when you compare, I don't know how welfare works in terms of how much you can earn on a weekly basis or monthly basis, but if you compare welfare to $10 an hour, what's the better deal? Stay home and get a check in the mail once a month, or go to work and get $10 an hour after they take out taxes and one thing and another. I don't know what you're going to wind up with.
It's the same thing with taxes and everything. We're given incentives to do less, not more, to do
I know. And this goes to Trump and the idea that he's going to borrow money to stimulate the economy. The only way this economy is going to get out of its current problem is by becoming more productive. You can't borrow your way to prosperity. It's not going to happen. We have to become more productive. Make more money, then we can pay off existing debt. We can perhaps take on new debt. We can spend more money because we're making more money, but we must become more productive. And we have a political mentality that doesn't encourage people to be productive. We've got regulations, too many regulations to be self-employed. We are encouraging people to believe they are entitled. They can just, we'll support you. You don't have to work. I guarantee it's all going to change because it has to change, and the change will be painful, unpleasant, and it'll contribute to political instability in this country. How far it goes, nobody knows. But
and also what is wrong is these organizations, because, you know, a lot of people, they get all fired up because they're being told they could get $15. And there was one comment on here. So she said, we're not asking it. We're demanding $15 an hour. Well, you know what? Have you ever heard of robots? Have you ever heard about now more and more McDonald's? You go in and there's a kiosk there where there's pretty little pictures of your food and you don't even have to read anymore. Take that away from people. At least at one point in time you had to read the menu up at the top of McDonald's. Now you get to point at the pretty little pictures and you don't need to talk to anybody anymore. The only person that needs to work at McDonald's anymore is the person who brings it out to you. And hey, that might happen on a computer.
Oh, they've got a robot to do that. They can be replaced. The only one who needs to work at McDonald's, maybe, is the one who counts the money, bags it up, and takes it down to the deposit in the bank, after work.
Perhaps, but it's all digital anymore, so you don't even need to do that. It's all credit cards and debit cards. So,
do you ever hear of the automat?
Excuse me?
Did you ever hear of the automat? It was a little restaurant in New York City back in the 50s,
yeah,
probably,
yes,
maybe even the 40s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you go up, and I can remember going there when I was a kid. My dad took me on a vacation out to New York City.
It was all machines.
And we went to the Automat, and it was a marvelous idea. You just went on and looked at these little doors, and they'd have a pie behind it, or a hamburger, a piece of slice of pie, or a hamburger, or whatever. And you just put your quarters or whatever into the slot, and the door would open up, and you could help yourself. You take your little piece. Everybody thought, oh, my gosh, what'll they think of next? It was a tremendous innovation. You know, we're going to have McDonald's. We're the only people at the McDonald's. It'll be like the Automat, except the Automat actually had people on the other side of the wall that were putting new pieces of pie and new hamburgers in the empty windows. All right? They aren't even going to be there. The only people at McDonald's will be the customers. You want to talk, it'll be like they'll have maybe if you need to talk to a manager, they'll outsource it to someone in India. And they will answer the phone. You can talk to them on the phone, and you'll complain about your Big Mac. And they say, we will take care of your Big Mac. I don't know. The world is becoming stranger, stranger, stranger. And what are you going to do? I don't blame people for wanting $15 an hour. But what are we going to do? I don't care if they want $10 an hour. I'll bet you're going to have to settle for $5 if you want to compete with a robot. Maybe less than that. I'm not sure. Where are we going? What are we going to do? We are facing technological problems that I don't think any of us are smart enough to deal with. I mean, you can see that you can make a bunch of money, but what are the consequences of this technology? It's going to put people out of work. How are they going to survive? The answer is we're going to have to tax the robots. And then maybe we can all stay home on welfare. But how is that going to work out? Can they get enough money to keep us adequately entertained where we have an adequate supply of alcohol, drugs, TV, Hostess ding-dongs, and we can all, you know, stare at the TV all day? Will they be able to give us enough money to keep us happy, or will some of us say, I'd like a McMansion. I don't want to just live in this apartment. I would like a McMansion of my own. And I'd like to have an opportunity to compete against the rest of these sluggards. You know, how are they going to do it? I have no idea. But it does. But the problems also appear to be coming. And
which also brings up a good question about the. And again, it's not about Trump. We're looking at how are things going to unfold. Promises of manufacturing, good wages, really. When people are striking against McDonald's and airports to get they're getting paid $10.50 now and they want $15 an hour, what do you think these factories, if they come back, will offer? It's not going to be much more than that. Not when you already have Chinese plants manufacturing that are paying $10 an hour. So we're not in a position as a country to work for better and better wages. We're on the path of lower wages. And I just can't imagine middle management. Yes, maybe. Yes, there's going to be some. Yes, I get that. But for the heart of this country, for people at McDonald's, that's the best they're going to get. I don't see there's going to be bigger and greater wages coming back in manufacturing plants.
Well, they probably won't be in manufacturing because that's all going to be robotic. I saw,
a lot of it.
We talked about it on this program 6 months ago anyway, that the Chinese planned to have 80% of their labor in the number one industrial province of the nation. It was something like, it was the majority of their industrial production came out of this one province. They expected to have 80% of the jobs eliminated and replaced by robots. That's China! China! All right, they expected to have that done within the next couple of years. It wasn't a plan for 2040 or 2030. They were talking, maybe by 2018, 2020 at the latest, I don't remember clearly, but just in a matter of a couple of years, they expected to replace 80% of Chinese. What are they going to do? What are the Chinese going to do if they don't have I mean, good God, man. It becomes efficient. Yeah, I get that. And prices will fall, but what are you going to do for work for the rest of the people? How are they going to get by? And I assume the idea is, well, we'll tax the robots and, you know, whatever their productivity is, we'll give it to the people. And for a lot of people, that sounds like a wonderful idea. We won't have to work and we'll still get money. But do you really want to, do you want to live in a world where the most you can make is the same amount of money that the guy across the street, down the block, or on the other side of town is making? You have no hope of making more? Is that the world you want to live in? I mean, I'm not sure that people can deal with that. Oh, my God. You know, we people complain about going to their job and say, oh, the same old job. What about the same old apartment? The same old flat-screen TV that you had 5 years ago?
Oh, my.
Oh, my God. What's, you know, is there going to be people that are going to be, it's going to be just like living in a corporate cubicle. All right? Except you don't have to do any work. But you're still not, you're still going to be a peon compared, as will just about everyone else. Will that be enough? Can people live on that, under those terms? And I don't know. Maybe they can. Maybe we'll all be better off living in our little cubicles.
And you know, Al, and I do believe that's how the future will be lived. I don't think it's going to be lived that way in 20 years or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, you do see the future in that manner. It's the only way it's going to go. I mean, it's technology is...
Unless the whole thing blows up, in which case then we are fighting for survival. You know, the whole thing collapses. Oh, my gosh, nobody's delivering a free lunch to me anymore. How will I survive?
Hey. I know we shouldn't talk about this before he is actually picked. What do you think about Petraeus?
I don't know what
and,
to say about
and
Petraeus.
And Donald Trump's interview.
I wasn't aware that he'd interviewed Petraeus, and what was he interviewing him for? Joint Chiefs of Staff or something?
No, I think
he's chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or what's he going to bring? What's he thinking about bringing Petraeus in for? Homeland Security?
Secretary of Defense, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Secretary of Defense. Well, I don't have an objection to it. I don't know whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. I don't have an objection to it.
Secretary of State, I'm sorry.
Secretary of State?
Yeah.
I don't know. Petraeus got crosswise with some electronic communications that were made available to his girlfriend, if I understand correctly, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, he revealed some top secret.
He got caught in a scandal, yeah. And now he's, yeah. Maybe, who knows? You know, how much of the scandal was real? I mean, it didn't hurt Hillary Clinton, that's for sure. Whatever Petraeus did, it was nothing compared to what Hillary Clinton has done. And not many are, you know, a lot of people are saying Hillary for jail, but I don't know that that'll ever happen. But Petraeus paid his price. So now we can, it's like hiring ex-convicts, right? We'll hire former government officials who've been removed from office based on scandal, and we'll rehabilitate them, Melody. Not punish, rehabilitate. Let's take a break. More commercials. Melody, I'll be back in a moment on Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Home prices were higher, 5.5% higher than September of 2015, up from 5.1% annual gain in August, and this is according to the S&P Case-Shiller Index, and it has now surpassed its previous peak of July 2006. Isn't that rosy news, Al?
Well, it seems like it on the face of it, but this article from Yahoo Finance says, no, maybe not.
It isn't.
He says, if you're a homeowner enjoying ongoing boost in wealth because the price of the homes are going up, but there's a problem, and the problem is that the portion of Americans owning homes has been dropping since 2005. Now, this is very interesting and intriguing and seemingly counterintuitive information, because the prices of homes are going up, but the number of people buying homes is going down. Now, the way this is explained in part is that people are buying more expensive homes, but ordinary people are no longer as easily qualified for loans to buy more modest homes. And plus, the building contractors make more money on the big homes than they do on the little ones, so they'd rather build the big ones than the small ones.
We have a caller, Al.
All right, we'll get to him in a moment. We'll get to him in a moment. The point is, the price of homes is going up, while the number of homes being bought by ordinary people is going down, which sounds to me like stagflation. Prices going up, that's evidence of inflation. But the number of people able to afford new homes, is going down. That strikes me as something stagnant, something depressed. And it's consistent with what we see in society right now, or in the economy. We see it on one hand, you look at it, you see evidence of inflation. On the other hand, you kind of see evidence of deflation. Some prices are going up, but wages aren't going up. Right? Not. And the result is, I think, stagflation. So maybe that's the lesson in this story about, you know, rising home prices, falling home demand. Stagflation, maybe. Let's take a call and see who's on the line. Who are we talking to?
We have Dave.
Dave in Michigan.
Hello, Dave. How you doing?
Hey, it's been a while since I've called. Listen, this comes under the heading of Be Careful What You Ask For. About 5 months ago, Detroit Potato Chip Company gave their employees $15 an hour. But then they were out on Gratiot Avenue in Detroit picketing that they wanted their hours reduced because they lost their housing subsidy. They were making too much money for the housing subsidy. So then what effect it turns out is that the consumer picks up the price increase to pay for the $15 an hour, but the government washes its hands of having to give out a housing subsidy. And so these people, so they want their hours reduced. They want, in other words, they want a part-time job now. less hours to be just about where they are. There's no advantage if you're working less hours and you maintain your housing subsidy, but you haven't gained anything except not being at work maybe for 20 hours a week. But now I see in Seattle, they suddenly realize this, that getting anywhere from $11.50 up, that they could lose a subsidy by the government.
Yep.
Well, it's just evidence. I can't afford to be paid more because it'll ruin my housing subsidy. This right. is evidence that the entitlement program has gone a little too far. The government regulations are encouraging people not to work. That's what the evidence is. You want housing subsidies? Don't ask for higher pay. Get a part-time job. Don't get a full-time job. Get a part-time job. We'll still subsidize your house.
So
how are we going to become more productive? How can we become more productive in that environment, Dave? Do you have any idea?
That could take a lot of thinking on that one.
I know.
Solution. A side note to that is, of course, Detroit is the potato chip consumption capital of the United States, and a new Little Caesar Arena, which is being put up by LH, they're making the seats 22 inches wide instead of 18 now.
18. Oh, oh, oh.
So somebody's putting away a lot of potato chips.
Well, that's a lot of potato chips, a lot of inches
yeah.
there.
Hey, someday I'll call in and we'll talk about the U.S. prison system with 650,000 employees making 22 cents an hour that people don't realize. And they make yeah. products for GM, IBM, GE.
Yep.
And if you don't want to work for 22 cents an hour, they put you in solitary confinement till you come out and say, yeah, I'll work for 22 cents an hour. And there was, when Obama first went in, there was two federal prisons, private prisons that did this. Then they added eight more. And Hillary was saying, well, look, there's money to be made. So she says there should be more federal prisons, not private. She just mentioned that. And, of course, she also mentioned that 50 million people, adults, should go to re-education camps now. I don't know what her intention is on that, but that could be the reason for more.
Are those
prisons.
Camps located in this country or maybe in China? Where
no,
will
here.
We where
it's
will
it's
it we'll get a chance to do a little traveling while we're going to these camps?
I think if you were a gun owner that doesn't want to give up your gun, or if you were a different political parties that are opposite to their way of thinking, I think that's what the re-education camp was for.
No, I understand.
And people forget she made these statements. Then she said, I want to tax the middle class more. What's his name is sitting there, Buffett, who pays no taxes. He's applauding. And there's some 18-year-old kids behind her that have never worked a day in her life, and they're applauding. But this is, you know, things that she said that I hope that this recount, by hook or crook, they don't get her back in there.
I tell you, Hillary is
so
determined to be president of the United States, I keep expecting to get a report that they've spotted Hillary carrying a sniper rifle somewhere in the vicinity of the Trump Tower.
Oh, no. Anyway, no, that's not going to, you know, she's done. She's history. I mean, you're actually talking about her running in 2020, but.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, I understand.
With her Parkinson's, I don't think she'll be around in 2020. I think she wanted her name in history books, knowing that if she dies on the job, that her name is still in the history books as being the first woman president. I think she wanted that so bad.
Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't doubt that's true, but this whole thing has been like one of those horror movies where there's a creature out there in the dark that just keeps picking off the people. They got a dozen people at the party or whatever, and there's a creature that's, okay, Dave, you go up to the West Wing on your own, and Melody, you go to the South Wing, and I'll go to the North Wing, and you know one of us is going to get picked.
Yeah, yeah.
The creature is going to get at least one of us. It's like a terrible horror movie. My God, when will the woman stop? You know?
The monster that wouldn't die. Yeah,
monster that wouldn't go away.
We'll see what
the politician that wouldn't die.
Yeah.
What
so
else
we'll
you got for us, Dave?
$15 an hour, and what comes to that if these other people like Seattle and what have you lose their housing subsidy?
What's the question?
I said, we'll see what happens. If I was a government, I'd be promoting that, because then I can dump their housing subsidy, and then the consumer winds up making the difference on the $15 an hour.
Well, I mean, the $15 an hour minimum wage is not a good thing. And what ultimately happens, it just fuddles down to the consumer.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it's going. And so, no, I mean, you might have it, they'll reverse it, or they'll, you know, maybe the subsidy will be, you know, come from the state, you know, will come, because, you know, they're not going to allow them to lose their homes and so forth. So, but you're right, you have to be careful what you ask for.
That's right.
So you have to be careful of what you get, too. I mean, it's one of these things where...
It's a Trojan horse.
Everything is flaky right now. It's just strange.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, my first job was 85 cents an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would sit back and say, oh, my God, 85 cents an hour, that's really old. That's old-timey stuff. No, the problem, it wasn't a bad wage. 85 cents, it was part-time job after school, a couple hours a night after school. I'd get $1.65, maybe $2 a night for work on sweeping up at Blau Motors, right? The place I was looking for. Did a little janitorial work. And I was back freshman in high school, something like that. 85 cents an hour. But this we're talking about back 1959, 1960, when a dollar was a silver dollar.
Right.
I got 85% of a silver dollar. My job, right out as 85% of a silver dollar today would be in the neighborhood of 15, 20 bucks an hour.
Right.
If you catch my drift.
Sure.
85 cents an hour was great. Hey, I could buy myself, you know.
I was doing good. I got $2 a lawn, cutting 8 lawns a week, and I paid my high school tuition was $360 a year, which was a lot of money, and you're only making $2 a lawn. But now that same high school is $11,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you had to pay to go to high school?
Private school, my mother insisted, and I was only 400 feet away from a public high school. I could have had the nicest car in the parking lot.
At the public high school.
Yeah, at the public one, right.
Yeah, if you saved the $300-$400 a year, now $11,000 a year.
Yep.
I don't know.
That was 66 when I graduated, so.
You know, to me, this is just more evidence you need to get something like gold. Why? Because it's something you can rely on in unstable times. And you look at these kinds of stories that we're talking about right now with Dave. And it's just how you look at it and just shake your head and say, look, the world has gone nuts. And it doesn't appear that it's going to regain its sanity anytime soon. And under those circumstances, just, hey, get some gold.
You know, right.
Place is crazy. It's going to.
When I was in college, Al, gold was 35 an ounce still.
Uh-huh.
And the lowest I ever bought it was 280.
Well, even that's good compared to where we are right now. You've made
400%
or 300% on your purchase.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anybody that doesn't buy at this time, with the way it's taken a dip like this, this is a time to buy. If I had more money, I would be buying.
Hey, Dave, where did you buy your gold?
Discount from Melody. All these years, I'm one of her oldest customers.
Is that right?
Yes, you are.
Age and business wise.
Well, thank you.
All right.
All righty.
Very good.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, Melody, what else do we have? Want to talk about Cyber Monday sales?
Yeah, we can do that quickly.
All right, there's a headline from Reuters: Cyber Monday sales, biggest online shopping day in U.S. history. Biggest online shopping day in U.S. history. That was last Monday. Shoppers spent $3.45 billion on Cyber Monday on Samsung 4K TVs, PlayStation 4s, and Barbie dolls, among other products, making the largest online sales day ever in U.S. history.
Which, you know, how many TVs do people have? It just amazes me.
One for every room, Melody, and soon one for every wall in every room.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you're right.
Per room,
they
unless
get
you have
tired
multiple,
of looking at the same TV. They have to replace it. It's really incredible.
Well, the big point here is that the purchases are being made over the internet. All right, Cyber Monday. All right, these are products that are purchased over the internet. They are not purchased in ordinary stores. And, you know, in fact, according to this report, Cyber Monday sales jumped 12.1% year over year. 12% more this year than they did last year. If I recall correctly, we talked about what the brick and mortar stores did for Black Friday and so on. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, we talked about it just in the last, I think yesterday perhaps, mm-hmm. but didn't it actually go down compared to a year ago?
Yes, it did, of course.
All right, and here we have internet going up 12%. 12% as compared to last year. It's telling you that there are technological changes taking place in our society, in our economy, that are going to be devastating. This is going to, I mean, where are people going to get retail jobs right now? People that are looking at entry-level jobs. You can get over to McDonald's, you can go to a retail store and help people buy sweaters and slacks and whatever. Right? They're not going to, they're losing business. And this is not just losing business, this is losing entry-level jobs. Where are these people going to get a job that can start them out? I mean, they're going to be starting out, they're going to be paying to have a job. Will someone please give me a job and I will pay you to teach me how to work? That's what we can expect to see from some people in the foreseeable future. Most people say, no, I'd rather take welfare than lessons on how to work. But, the world is just curiouser and curiouser and curiouser.
And you know what? You know, we were talking about wages, and you're right, Al, about these jobs and so forth. But, you know, sometimes these, you know, when you're looking at $15 an hour, you would think that, you know, it's really everyone should. But most those types of jobs, Is that type of job really worth that high wage? And it all comes back to our fiat currency. We have inflation in this country. This is why our dollar buys us nothing. That's why it takes so many of them. That's why things are so expensive. Things are not going to go back, except this program. We'll have to continue tomorrow, Al. I hear the music.
I
hear music.
I thought I had tomorrow off. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. I hope you'll tune in at that time. I'm Alfred Adisker with Melody Cederstrom. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
To be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me